Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. I say that because you can listen to us on the computer, but then you can also join the chat room. Don't be afraid to jump in there. The people there are pretty nice. It's 7:06 in the morning. It's March the 8th. And I'm joined by Bad Bob. And Bad Bob, what's the weather like?
Well, right now we're looking at 49 degrees in downtown. Chance of rain on and off throughout the day. Maybe some sunshine this afternoon. Then sunny for Wednesday. And then rain becoming likely later in the week. And as I said, 49 downtown. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
So did you have a good evening there, Bad Bob?
It was quite tolerable. Did some work at the MI studio. And lots of little projects going on.
That's good. You know, today, Linda is on assignment and has got all types of things that she is on the road doing. But today we've got a show. We've got a United Way here. We've got some people from Festa Italiana. We have Dr. Leah Tate. Dr. Tate is one of the people that help our veterans at the Veterans Clinic, but she also is heads up the Charter Commission here in town. As you know, we're looking at a group of people, I think there's 10 people in it, that are looking at the idea of Reading becoming a charter city. And they're going to make a bunch of recommendations, going to meet for a few months, come back with recommendations for the city council on if we should be a charter city. And it's going to be interesting to get the insight from Dr. Tate and also talk to her about what's going on down at the clinic. Who knows, a couple other things. Let's start off far, far away in Libya. The battle's still going on there. And, you know, the battles cause, you know, if you've been watching and noticing is that your oil prices have been going up. And we talked about this yesterday when I went off on a minor rant toward President Obama and why hasn't he done something? Why hasn't the Congress and the Senate done something? Not about what is Libya. You know, here's McCain wanting a no-fly zone. You know, Senator McCain, let's just stay out of this fight. This is if the Middle Eastern potentates who have lots of air power and have lots of money, and they aren't embroiled in a fist fight in several places in the world, why don't we let them kind of handle this? You know what I mean? This is no, I mean, we don't, you know, everybody screams about, oh, it's for oil. No, you want to go in there and start something. Well, don't. Just let them settle this. Let them settle what's going on. We didn't get into it when you had, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in Darfur being slaughtered. We didn't get into that. You know, we didn't get into other places where you know, murders and horrible things were happening. We didn't get into that. So let's just, why don't we just stay out of this one? And I realize they're putting pressure on Obama, for a variety of reasons, probably mainly political. But I hope we don't get into that one. We don't need to. Let the Middle East, if they want to join in.
Well, I understand that the president or prime minister of one of the large organizations of Muslim countries is now appealing, you know, for a no-fly zone. It's like, stay away, all you horrible Westerners. Or, wait, we need your help. Yeah, if I find that amusing.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, fine, you want us to fly a plane. For every plane we fly, that'll cost you 100 million barrels of oil. How about that? That seems to be fair. Okay, but here's the thing is that it doesn't make any difference whether we have no-fly zones or fly zones or they exterminate each other. You know, you hate to see that, but, you know, we've got a full plate as it is. But, you know, here's what happens. You know, the oil prices still keep going up. The price of a gallon of gas is dependent 50-60% on the price of oil. And just to make you feel a little better, and is that a little tidbit I've found. And in the next few weeks, gas prices are expected to rise even more as refineries switch to a more expensive blend of gasoline designed to help protect against evaporation during the winter. I'm sorry, during the warmer summer months. Let me say that again. In the next few weeks, gas prices are expected to rise as refiners switch to a more expensive blend of gasoline designed to help protect against evaporation during the warmer summer months.
I'm sorry, does anybody remember MTBE that was supposed to save the environment and then they discovered it was about the most horrible stuff you could have out there? The irony is appears to be lost on lawmakers.
I don't know what that is.
That's the stuff they were putting in gasoline a few years ago that was supposed to be an environmentally safe material, and then they discovered it was pretty. It was just awful stuff. It got into the groundwater. It was MTBE. It was a chemical that was added to gasoline. This was about 10 years ago. I do remember that. And it was mandated by California. They had to reformulate the gasoline at great expense, and then they had to take it out at great expense. Go figure. I'm sorry, it just struck me as ironic.
We got to take a break here. It's Carl and the Bob. Let us on assignment. It's a Carl and Bad Bob here. We're going to hold the fort. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:15 in the morning on the 8th of March. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And you can join our chat room and talk to us. Let's talk about a few things that have, we were just talking about gas, as I can lean over there. And it looks like here, just a headline, two-week gasoline price rise is the second biggest ever. The second biggest ever. It said the gasoline price has soared another 13.7 cents over the last week to a national average of $3.52 a gallon, rising 33.1 cents during the last 2 weeks. Okay, let's just forget the point one. 33 cents during the last 2 weeks. Second biggest jump during a two-week period ever recorded by the government. The record was a 45-cent jump during the period ending September 5, 2005, after Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast. It's up 77 cents from a year ago. I don't know. This is again, we go back to allowing other countries, other parts of the world to decide our destiny. You know, let's just face it. I mean, people that are... You know, who's it hurt the most? It doesn't hurt people that are, that can afford to pay $4, $4.50, for a dollar, for a gallon of gas. What it hurts is the people that really starts taking money out of their pocket. And then, of course, the cost of transportation, the cost of food, everything. Everything is touched by this. And yet we still, as we do in many other things in this government, we don't do anything about it. And it's not just Obama. But, President Obama, you just happen to be sitting there in the seat. You know, it's the same thing during the Bush years. It's the same thing during the Clinton years. What are we doing about it? Are we actually trying to go out and drill? Are we actually going out and drilling? That makes a difference. Speculation drives the cost up. They're saying, speculators are saying that the requirement for gasoline and oil is going to continue to rise while the supply of it is going to drop. That's what speculators are doing. They're betting on the fact is that less oil, more use. So what happens if the government says, hey, look, you know what? We're going to drill. We're going to go up to Alaska. We're going to drill. We're going to drill in Oklahoma. We're going to drill in Wyoming. We're going to drill. Hey, look, here's oil shale. Collect it up. We're going to make oil. That just there sets a tone. But then at the same time, let's start drilling. Let's get off of the dependency. Gosh, my friends, I mean, most of you have never been addicted to anything except this show, and this is a healthy thing, a healthy addiction for you is us. But, you know, the point is that we can take control of our destiny. We just have to do it. I don't understand what the problem is. You know, it's kind of like what's going on in Siskiyou County right now. Siskiyou County is at a watershed, my friends. They're at a point right now that there's going to be some decisions made that affect many of us in the state of California, but many of us up here in the North State. A federal judge ruled that the Department of Fish and Game has just been too easy on the farmers in Siskiyou County, on the ranchers and farmers there. In a decision he released last month, this is from Record Searchlight here, the Superior Court judge said the Department of Fish and Game was being too lenient on farmers whose irrigation on the chronically dry watersheds of the Scott and Shasta River was threatening coho salmon. And he said it's a harsh truth that the water is widely shared, yet severely limited resource in the West. And the court must uphold the legislature's mandate to preserve threatened species. Uphold threatened species. The coho salmon, we went up there, and there's a gentleman there, they're quoting named Blair Smith. I've met Mr. Smith. And the question is this. If the water rights are taken away, and these are water rights, these are ones that they have bought, these are ones they've had for decades, maybe even up to a century, these are rights they bought. If the government takes the water away for a threatened species that may not even be native to this area, then you're going to shut down the last income-producing part of Siskiyou County. You've already taken away the logging, you've taken away mining, and so now you're taking away the farming and ranching. Is this truly, truly what our legislature wants to do? Is this what they want to do, is completely drive the people out of Siskiyou County? Bad Bob shaking his head up and down. You know what? Every one of these have been brought by environmentalists. And as we talked about yesterday in the editorial, was that everything that's happening, everything that is impacting on water and air and biomass and renewable energy comes from environmentalists suing to stop progress, to inhibit what people are doing, and now this. We got to take a quick break. Carl and Linda's on assignment. We have guests rolling in here from Festa Italiana. We've got a whole bunch of people going to be here today. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's 7:24 in the morning on March the 8th. Linda's on assignment. She's in the back. She's trimming trees out there in the back 40. I left her with a chainsaw and like 12 trees she's working this morning. Hey, you know, one of the things I would mention, and I am remiss at this, my friends, is about the incident that happened yesterday with our police and a gent that pulled a gun and shot one of our policemen, wounded him in the wrist. That was the reports that we have, that he is not in danger of losing his life. And his partner, a backup officer, then took the suspect under fire. He's not a suspect. He took the guy that had just shot the other policeman and then took him down and killed him. This happened, right around noon yesterday. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the officer. We hope that he's going to be fine and there'll be no lingering injuries. And also our thoughts go out and our prayers go out to the officer who shot the man, because that can also work on you. And the officer knows that we all are also thinking of what they did and realize that they didn't have a choice. And I hope they realize that, and that this is something that they also can get by. Okay, hey, let's go from that to happiness here. Festa Italiana has come in on a gondola into the office somehow here.
Happy here.
So Lou White and Kathleen White.
Good morning.
So you're going to talk to us about Festa Italiana, which is this Saturday.
Tella luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi mare tare.
Okay, Kathleen. So, talk to us about that.
Well, in English, that means we're having a big party, and it's an Italian party. It's kind of like a big Italian wedding, only no one has to get married.
There you go.
Oh, so no honeymoons that night. Is that what you're saying, Luigi?
Well, you can have as many honeymoons as you want, but okay. No, it's a big party held at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, Lucero Hall, and doors open at 5:30.
That's right.
Kind of like going to Anselmo, only we got the paper plates. Because it's hard to wash dishes for 350 people.
But cloth napkins. So it's just a big Italian party.
And this is, you get some wine there when you're there. There's dancing. There's going to be a band. It's just a real nice night. And I tell you, having been there for, last 2 years, maybe 3 years, is that the food is just outstanding.
Was that you wearing that funny hat?
No, that was not me.
We're going to start off
maybe at the end of the night.
There you go. We'll start off the evening with Linda singing the national anthem for us. And then, as always, Carl and Linda have hosted for us the Veterans Table. We always have a Veterans Table every year to honor our veterans, and Carl always puts that together for us. So we will introduce our Veterans Table.
It's kind of like, if you liked The Rat Pack Is Back, it's similar in nature in that Linda will be starting off by singing a song. And we'll be doing similar songs like Dino Martinino and Frankie Sinatra songs.
You know, there's a chat thing, a chat comment here. Whiskey Town Lake, Lou White's grassroots hit.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
that's
about
true.
That?
We can sing it. I can't believe somebody remembered that one. It's an original song that Lou wrote.
On our album. Familiar Faces, Familiar Places, songs all about the North State and stuff like that, about going to Whiskey Town Lake and the things that could happen to you there.
Okay, well,
so
all right, now how do you get tickets, okay, and how do we still do this? Because we're going to be there. I promise you, my friends, this is a great time. We dance, we have great food, antipasto plates, just the whole thing. So how do they get tickets?
Just give us a call, 359-2078, and we'll be happy to get you tickets.
You have to be Italian?
Oh, heavens, no. But that night, everybody is Italian.
It's like going to the Italian wedding. You don't have to be Italian to go to the wedding. And, of course, we bring in out-of-town entertainers. This was started, 32 years ago by some guys.
The Presidio Brothers.
The Presidio Brothers, that's right. And they just wanted to have a party once a year, and then their duty was over for the year. So
that was easy
for them. They brought in different kind of entertainers. We've had Dick Cantino and Sonny King and people like that. This year we've got
Neil Dable. He's our comedian this year.
Great.
And it's always good family fun.
It is.
But you must be 21 or over.
Okay. Got to be 21 or over. Can't bring the kids, or you can't bring the young kids.
Right.
That's right.
So, okay.
Right.
One more time. What's the phone number?
359-2078.
And we'll talk about it a little bit more, too. Our very good friends, Lou and Kathleen White, thank you so much for what you do for our community also.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no. You guys do a whole lot. Okay. When we come back from our break, we're going to be talking United Way. We're going to be talking about a few other things that are happening right here in town and what's going on in California. And then at 8 o'clock, Dr. Leah Tate, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. This is March the 8th, 2011, and it looks like it's going to be 48 degrees right now. Bad Bob, what's it going to look like today?
Look for off and on showers today. Clearing this afternoon, mostly sunny for your Wednesday, then increasing clouds Wednesday night. Rain likely on Thursday. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right. Anselmo Vineyards on Friday night is going to have Rick Hill up there playing. Better make your reservations. We're going to be up there for a while. He's just a fabulous guitar player, and he'll be up there during the dinner hour, 6 to 9, but you are probably going to need reservations, so give him a call. Linda is on assignment. She's in the backyard with the chainsaw. She's taking down those extra trees, and she's having to reach across the fence, take down his trees at the same time. Okay, it's something I'd like to see is that how many times have you seen people go to the Board of Supervisors or to the city council and ask to have their taxes increased? Well, you've seen it out in Bella Vista. And residents of a neighborhood out there said they want the county board of Shasta County Supervisors to support a petition to increase their taxes. And why do you think that is, Bad Bob?
It's an unusual situation, to say the least.
It is. It's the people from Holiday Acres Permanent Road Division who paid a $240 annual parcel charge for 15 years want the supervisors to raise their amount so that they can get their scarcely maintained roads improved. You know, I don't blame them for it. But here they are, they're asking. They're saying, you know, that there's only $88, you know, what it was paid that goes to road maintenance, and it's not enough. So they're going to the Board of Supervisors to ask that they raise their taxes. But I think that they all agree on it. So it's not like the Board of Supervisors are going down there and just saying, you know, I think we're just going to take more money from you.
And these people, are not demanding this for, you know, we want our road fixed, we don't care how you do it, and we don't want to pay anymore. They're actually stepping up and saying, okay, we'll take our responsibility.
And by the way, we don't want, we don't want health care. I didn't throw that in there someplace. Okay. Let's talk about, you know, as long as we're moving around here, let's move back to President Obama again. It looks like the trials in Guantanamo Bay are going to start all over again. It looks like the President Obama says we are going to start trying cases in Guantanamo Bay. At the same time, he says, but I still believe in the federal courts. Well, last time there was one in a federal court, I think 203 charges were dropped out of 204. The bottom line is that Guantanamo Bay that he said was going to shut down in a year is still running. The cases that he said were going to be moving to federal courts have not. And they're going to go back to the military trials. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because I personally think that's probably the right decision. But the point is that he doesn't say, hey, you know what? We've looked at this. We've tried. We don't think this is going to work. We need to keep Guantanamo Bay open. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that trying to bring somebody into court in the United States under the rules of evidence of a citizen of the United States doesn't really work all the time, especially in military, in military issues. It doesn't work because, you know, the times the evidence, the way they've been captured, the evidence, you know, obtained, and I'm not talking about being, about somebody, you know, waterboarding them or anything else. That, you know, that was a red herring there too for many of the arguments. But what I am talking about is the fact that, you know, a lot of times the chains of evidence may not be right there, or the rights not given on the battlefield. And these are acts of war against our country. And if they consider themselves soldiers in their war against us, they should be taken under a military tribunal. There's nothing wrong with that. Obama didn't say that. Oh, no, I'm shutting it down. The world hates us for Guantanamo Bay. Well, are they hating us less? If you keep it open, are they just going to hate us more? Again, it's another promise by President Obama that hasn't come to fruition. And, you know, as long as we're talking about it, you know, we're going to have some people, and they've asked to come on because they're getting ready to have they're having a peace march. I'm all for that. I'm all for peace. Hate war. But I think people need to wake up and say, this is a war that Obama is stretching out. This isn't a war. This is Obama's war now. You can't say it's not. And in anything, it's expanding. We're talking about 2014 now before we start moving troops out. 2014 out of Afghanistan. And we're not sure about that. What's the end result? What do we want there? Has it been made clear? Instead, we keep getting reports of like 3-5, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. 25 Marines killed in the last 4 months. Just had a report that 3 other soldiers and Marines were killed from other units. So, anyway, it's, you know, I might didn't start this to get under that. I'm just going back to the Guantanamo Bay, is that Guantanamo Bay was a necessary requirement to run this. Obama said, oh, no, we've got to shut it down, and now it's not going to be shut down. The trials are resuming. What other changes are there going to be? Are we going to see this as being the place to hold the trials? Something to look into as we go forward. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. The finest walk-in emporium for tobacco you're going to find in the state. And also, they have Espresso Joe's. Espresso Joe's will give you, the ladies there will serve you the greatest cup of coffee at a great price. You can then take it over to the next door. They have a community room, and you can sit down and drink your fabulous mocha coffee. And you have free Wi-Fi there, so you can use your computer. They are great people, Joe and Shelley. They support our community. They support the veterans. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Speaking of gasoline, you want to know where the cheapest gas in town is, Bad Bob?
Where would that be?
The Arco Station at 2951 Bocelli Lane, $3.68. $3.68.
I did notice a rather wide variance as you drive through town, more than usual.
Well, you know what? Here's they've got a number of Arco stations, all with different. Well, four of them have got the same price, and one doesn't. Isn't that strange? Okay, we're talking about also that you know the money that we have, you know, that we're trying to use from the redevelopment funds. And State Controller John Chang on Monday issued a sharp critique of local redevelopment agencies, saying they lacked accountability and transparency and were a breeding ground for waste, abuse, and impropriety. Now, was he talking about redevelopment agencies or the government up in Sacramento? I guess you could just use this for anything. Anyway, they're talking about, as part of the last minute, jockeying over Jerry Brown's proposal to eliminate local redevelopment agencies and redistribute their funds. Now, to go along with that, they've got talking to some people down in Sacramento, as we did over the weekend, the budget. You know, there's going to be the big push, of course, is on Wednesday, and they're going to probably be having a lot of things going on all day there. But Governor Brown's push to have the budget package approved this week doesn't look like it's going to happen. A group of GOP lawmakers, about five of them, that centrist, I guess you could call them centrist types, that were working with Brown, said the talks had broken down. They've been negotiating privately with Brown and declared in an open letter that their discussions were at an impasse. And there's things about reform, things that they wanted to have in there. The Republicans wanted pension rollbacks for public employees, further constitutional restrictions on state spending, easing regulations on business, an overhaul of the tax code, and an expansion of contracting out government work to private companies. Oh, gee, that wouldn't work. Pension rollbacks for public employees, constitutional restrictions on state spending, easing regulations on business, an overhaul of the tax code, and an expansion of contracting out government work to private companies. Oh, my gosh. How would that work? How could that help what's going on in the state of California? Of course, if they don't pass the budget, now you're going to be looking at cuts like you can't believe, if you can believe Brown. $20 billion for the cuts. I don't think he'll get them all at the same time, but now we're going to be talking big time there. We're going to be talking about services being cut dramatically. Let's go to the phones here. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. What we need all out here in Radio Land is everybody to get an email or phone or fax your Congress or your representatives down there and applaud them for not caving into this pressure from the liberals down there on this tax increase.
Well, you know, wants to do away with the redevelopment agencies, and he's getting a lot of pushback on that one. But, you know, they've got to, you know, if you're going to reform, you've got to reform everything.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this battle that's going on in Wisconsin, and, you know, if I people don't really realize it, but Ohio just passed the same thing that Wisconsin had.
Right.
You know, and it just went through. There was none of these huge, huge protests. There wasn't the violence. There wasn't any of this thing. Any of this.
Well, there isn't any reason to believe that the same group that was in power that promised us this 2 years on that crease would be done away with, and now they want another. Trust me, we want another 5.5. We need some really tough decisions to do, and this is the start of it, I think. I hope these guys hang tough in there and do not let that be on the ballot, because they'll spend millions and millions and millions to make it into the police and a teacher deal.
Well, you know, the bottom line on it is that when they passed it 2 years ago, it was to balance the budget.
Right.
And it was to do all these things. And I haven't seen it happen. We've gotten in worse trouble. I mean, yeah, you know, you talk about the economy. The last time the economy actually had a surplus, I mean, as far as, you know, in a month that we spent less than we took in was September of 2008. Of course, after that, you know, the whole economy came crashing down. But it doesn't make sense to continue to keep pouring more and more money into this. You know, I firmly believe that everybody, and all of us have, I mean, you know, people that are on Social Security have not had cost of living increases. Military retirees have not had cost of living increases. We need, everybody needs to, like, really bite the bullet for a couple years. And then, you know, and say, okay, I'll do this, I'll pay this, I'll do this. And I'm talking about, you know, anybody that's getting, you know, tax money, you know, to pay their bills. I mean, sometimes it just is going to take that. Government workers are going to just have to say, okay, I'm biting it now, and then in 2 years when this thing improves, we'll just go back to the negotiating table.
Sure, but you got $500 billion unfunded liabilities, and the clock's ticking. That's not going to change unless they change it.
Yeah, and it's not an attack at the unions. You know,
not.
The thing is that this has worked. This has worked over its way over years, and because of no foresight, no ability to look in the future. Which, of course, I mean, people can do that. I mean, it's kind of hard to blame people for
Christie
that.
Yeah, Christie had to cut a third of everything, and you don't see the backlash there like they're getting in Wisconsin. I don't quite understand that one.
Yeah, it's
okay, guys. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, thanks, Bruce, for the phone call.
You know, the headlight on this train has been visible for decades. I've been hearing about it as a reporter, and now it's all of a sudden the sky is falling. But you've been hearing about this for literally decades, that they could not sustain the pension funds.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of like this. I have a friend that he showed me the want pages or the real estate pages in Las Vegas. He said, see all these houses that are for rent? In other words, there were, you know, thousands of houses in Las Vegas for rent. I said, yeah. He says, well, you know, he says, people were building and building. You couldn't build them fast enough because you could sell them. You could sell them for more as you were building them. You would sell them to somebody, and then that person would sell them to somebody else before they were even built for even more money.
Speculation, yeah.
Yeah, and he says, what happened was it stopped. So now everybody's renting these houses. And I said, so he says, oh, no, this is going to crash. But yet, you could still see people doing it in Vegas. They were still building.
Pulling the slot machine.
They were still leveraging. They were still leveraging what they had to accumulate more. And then when it did crash, they lost everything. It's kind of like you say, yeah, you could see this coming, but people, yet they didn't believe it. I mean, I was out of the country a lot during that time. And, you know, a lot of this all of a sudden started happening when I was gone. But it was one of those things. I'm not an economist. I'm not that. But to say, you know, did you see any headlines trumpeting, hey, we're in deep trouble here?
Nope.
Did you see that anywhere?
Nope.
Did you see anything that said, you know, this can't last. You know, this is going to crash. You people, you know, stop this. Did the government one time say, hey, this is not working? No.
Like the dot-com bubble.
Did you see it on the New York Times? Yeah. Did you see it in the New York Times? Did you see it in the Washington Post? Did you see anybody that says, wait a minute, this can't last. It's going to crash. It's going to tear our economy up. There may have been a few out there in the woods.
It was an elephant
screaming,
in the room.
Screaming. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But nobody else said it, so we just go down that path. And you know what? Here's the thing, Bob. Have we learned anything? I don't know. Call on the Bob, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Interesting.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome
back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks 501 East Cypress. Greatest breakfast there. They have breakfast specials Monday through Friday: $3.99 ham and eggs, $4.99 chicken fried steak, and $5.99. You know, New York State. You know, you cannot beat these prices. And not only that, the service is great. It's a local. Let me say it again: a local restaurant owned and operated by our neighbors here in the town of Reading. They give great quality, great food for great prices. What can I say? Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. So, good morning. Okay, now, let's go to the phones here. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, daughter.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, hon? What's up?
I'm good. I just wanted to, I know you were talking about an officer-involved shooting that you all had there yesterday.
Yes.
And we were just informed that three deputy U.S. Marshals were shot this morning in St. Louis.
I just wanted to see if we could
give, maybe people could say some prayers for them and for their families. They were serving a search warrant, and the suspect opened fire on them. So they don't know the conditions of any of the marshals right now. They're all in the hospital, in the emergency room.
Right. Okay.
So I just want to see if everybody could say a prayer for them this morning.
Well, okay. Now, and to also put this in perspective, is my son-in-law is a U.S. Marshal too, and has been involved in a number of altercations. And it seems like since the beginning of the year that they've had a number of U.S. Marshals get shot and
yes.
killed or wounded
they've
since the beginning of this year.
One was killed in West Virginia, and they had two shot in Florida, and now this is three in St. Louis, and this is all since January 1st. Of this year.
Yeah. Now, people also have to understand, as U.S. Marshals go after some really bad guys. You know, people think of them as like in the courtrooms and escorting people, but they do a lot of search. They do a lot of felony warrants, and they go after
yes.
the guys. And so this is they go after sometimes the worst of the worst, which is what brings us on. Is he wearing his helmet?
I don't know. They don't know. Oh, was my husband wearing his helmet?
Yeah.
He better be wearing his helmet. Well, I was reading on the news, and the suspect this morning told his sister that he was going out in a body bag. So
yeah.
he already knew what he was going to do when the marshals came into his house, which is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
So just kind of hits close to home and makes, you know.
I know.
Makes us a little nervous.
Well, our thoughts.
So I just wanted to.
Well, our thoughts and prayers with Vince, too, all the
Bless
time.
Bless him for what he does.
That's right. You can give him a hug for us, okay?
I will.
And
all
my,
right, yes.
By the way, my granddaughter just scored perfect scores on her report card.
Yes, she did.
Ashlyn.
She did great. So, well,
okay,
you guys all have a great day. Thank you. Thanks, Dad.
You bet. You, hon, you hang in there. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
Yeah, you know Vince is a former Marine, a U.S. Marshal, and things are getting tough out there. He's along the border a lot of times. He's up on the reservations. It's not an easy job, and we need to think about that for all of our law enforcement personnel. Anyway, Carl and Linda Bott, when we come back after the news, we've got Dr. Leah Tay here. She's going to be talking about what's going on in the VA, and there's going to be a couple other questions we might ask her. Join us after these messages.
KCNR Shasta Redding. Not necessarily of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:05 on March the 8th. It's 48 degrees right now. I think we're going to have some rain later on. We'll talk a little bit more about the weather here in a couple minutes. Hey, our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. And then we also stream live on KCNR1460.com, and you can also chat with us at the same time. Just go there and just click on it, and you can join our chat room, as have. I would like to name them all, but there's thousands here.
Legion.
Just the ones I see. They're my 300. I call them my 300, and they can have more. But you know what? They have the strength of 3 million because their hearts are pure. What they write isn't all the time, but their hearts are pure. Yeah. I know. Anyway, hey, look, our guest today, I just feel special here. This is Dr. Leah Tate. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
You know, I two things. You know, when you can have a guest on, one, it's an expert and you can talk to them is one thing. But when you genuinely like that person, that always helps, too.
I appreciate it.
Well, you're a good person, and you do something for our community and our veterans that is just extraordinary. So, Dr. Leah Tate, tell us, it works at the VA clinic.
Yes.
And she's also the chairman of the new Charter City Committee.
Yes.
And, but we're not going to talk so much about that because I brought you on to talk about the VA and the things you're doing there and the changes because there's been a lot of talk lately, a lot of big changes coming on. But first, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thank you, and it's an honor to be here. So I am from Reading. I went to Bonneview and Sequoia and Shasta, and I went to University of California, Berkeley, for my bachelor's degree in psychology. I received my master's and my doctorate degree from California School of Professional Psychology in Fresno. Went to work for Kaiser, and recently in 2008 moved back up to Reading to work with our veterans.
Okay, and what is your position there at the Veterans Clinic?
I'm a clinical psychologist, and I work for the returning Veterans Mental Health Outreach, Education, and Care Program. So my job is to find our new veterans who are returning home from our conflicts and make sure they get into the VA and sign up for their benefits.
Okay, and also do you do treatment there also?
At this time, I have no caseload, so my entire job is to be out in the five counties looking for our young veterans returning home and making sure they get our VA resources and get time
and get into the mental, especially into the mental the health area of it,
you know,
right?
Yes, I work on the mental health team, but of course we want our veterans to get primary care and services that they need.
Absolutely.
Dentistry, optometry, things like that.
Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, this outreach and how important it is for us to have our veterans come in. You know, I've met many veterans that have not signed up for the VA. And we'll go over a couple of those reasons, and we can talk about that. But also, what's being done exactly to go out there and find these young men and women. Also, too, once we get them into the system, what they can expect. Because I think there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of fear in some cases on this.
Absolutely.
So, Carl and Linda Bott, and Linda, of course, is on assignment. She is out taking care of us so that I can be here, and she'll be back, of course, tomorrow. But this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Bott on KCNR 1460, it's our home. It's the home of Free Fire Media. It's the home of Dennis Miller, Michael Savage, Laura Ingram, Alana Burke. On the weekends, we just have great shows. We have, you know, 10 or 12 shows that are local shows that are just outstanding. Anywhere from, outdoor show to Sovereign Minds on Sunday evening. It starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning and goes till 7 o'clock on Sunday evenings. And the last one, Sovereign Minds, is there is no such thing as conspiracies. Is there? Listen to Sovereign Minds. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, and Dish Satellite. 244-1988. We use him at our house. He does a great job. He's moved. Used to be out on Airport Road. He is now at 1345 Liberty Street, right downtown in Reading, as you're coming off where the 44s are, coming back into town, right there. Again, Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. Call a local guy. He guarantees his work. And when you call 244-1988, you're going to talk to either Heather or Doug. You're not going to talk to somebody in another state. Again, B&T Satellite. Our guest today, Dr. Leah Tate, who is the, I guess you would say, the outreach guru?
Right.
Outreach guru.
Head of the outreach team in our county.
Okay, for the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Clinic here in town.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions here. One of the things we talked about was a perceived fear by some of our veterans on coming down to the VA and signing up. I mean, what are some of the different things you hear?
Well, I think that there's different levels of fears. I think that one aspect, which is large, is that a lot of our parents of our current veterans are from the Vietnam era. And a lot of our Vietnam era veterans did not want to go to the VA at all. And the kids coming back have lived with these stories, and they've heard how horrible VA services can be. And the VA has done a large ramp up. A lot of funding has gone into hiring more people, so there are less lines, less waits. We've had a huge bulk of mental health providers in this area so that you can get the services you need.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I think that the ramping up of services, the Vietnam era, the warriors from that, and society back then was just left a bitter taste in a lot of the veterans' mouths. The VA probably wasn't set up to do that. They didn't have the wherewithal to start talking about post-traumatic stress. It was not at the level that people do today. But also the injuries. I still have people today that don't like the VA, and most of them are the older ones. But there are some younger ones too that have had to fight the battle for years to try to get services that should just have taken weeks to get. And so as far as the fears, I think it's not so much a fear like, oh, gosh, something's going to happen to me, as it is, you know, I'm just not going to get, you know, bounced around again. I'm not going to come down. They're not going to set me up for appointments, or they're going to send me, you know, like 300 miles away that I have to get there to, you know, I mean, it just doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
I think that's it. But now our clinic looks like they're going to be expanding.
Absolutely.
And can you talk a little about that?
I'll tell you what I do know. We're crowded down there. We have a lot of veterans in this community, and I know more have come into the VA since our economic downturn. And we need a little bit more space. So they've been looking at space to expand to, and hopefully in the next year we'll be moving to certain areas so we can accommodate more people.
I've heard that the VA is renting space. I've heard anywhere from across from City Hall to other things. And I think when Pete was here, he mentioned that there was talks about bringing in trailers even to put the admin staff out into so they could have more room for MRIs and that.
Right. Our clinicians need to see the patients. And the VA clinic here is willing to do whatever it takes if that means moving admin staff, who technically do not see patients on an everyday basis, so that we can get more clinical staff in there. Because if you go to the VA clinic, we're crowded. You know, it's hard to find parking sometimes. And
there have been a couple of days that I've rolled through there, and it's kind of been like there is no parking spots there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And we're aware of that, and the VA is really pushing to make that easier for the veteran to access the services. And we do run, you mentioned that we do have clinics, you said 300 miles away, but the VA clinic here, we do not have the emergency room, so we do run the shuttle service to Sacramento, on a daily basis for
right.
people who do have appointments.
Well, we have a lot of comments on in our chat room, and one of them says, we are fortunate to have a lot of great doctors at the VA. Mine, Dr. Sherby, is first rate.
Yeah.
So
we do have some great doctors. Our primary care and mental health providers, we get great feedback from the community.
Well, the thing is, I've been going there for since I've been back, from Iraq this time. And I was, and frankly, I went there, as most people know, I went there just to see because I was going to talk about it on the radio. And if I was being bounced around, if it was going to be bad, and there was going to be bringing some light to this. And, because this isn't right. A veteran should not be treated like that. Well, as it turns out, I was there about the same time Pete Privett rolled in. And my experiences at the VA, and these are my experiences I'm talking about, have been nothing but top rate, top notch. The only thing I could ever say is that I've had an appointment postponed. But the treatment itself, they treated me for things that should have been treated for while I was on active duty and wasn't.
Right.
But they took care of it here. Testing right. on things like nuclear or exposure to uranium, depleted uranium rounds and all those things. I was treated for that here. I wasn't treated for that when I was in the military. And other things, too. So my experiences with it and with many others that I've talked about was that it was very good treatment. Of course, there's always going to be ones that think there's other ways.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how you go out there. How do you find these veterans? How do you bring them into the fold so that they at least get their names? Because that's important, too. Just signing up and getting your name into the system is really important for how the clinic grows and for the amount of money that comes in, which will then help us continue to grow and
right.
give that service. Okay. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. On KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:20 in the morning on March the 8th. Linda's on assignment today. That's why you haven't heard those nails tick, 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 tick on the keyboard of the computer. That's why. Welcome Maggie. Maggie, good morning. Thanks for joining us here. I don't know if you've been here before. I haven't seen a name lately. So welcome aboard our chat room. I see that you are right in the middle of it. And just watch out for Coach Bob. He talks about this trumpet and he's an old guy, but don't believe it.
Chat room can use a female perspective, not unlike this show.
Well, you know what? It's true, but we have a female's perspective. If Linda's not here, we import our guest, our female guest, and Dr. Leah Tate, who is here from the VA clinic. How are
Hello.
You? And what do you do, doctor, when you're going out after to find our young veterans, our older veterans?
Right. Well, any veteran. I'm always happy to talk to any veteran, and I am focused. Our program is focused on the younger veterans, but however, if anyone talks to me, I'm never going to turn a veteran away if they need assistance or help. Our program tries to get involved in the community activities as much as possible. So any VA, any veteran event that's going on, I try and attend. I also am responsible for 5 counties, so Trinity, Siskiyou, Butte, Shasta, and Tehama. So try and have a relationship with the veteran service officers in those counties.
So how big a help are the veteran service officers to you? They're
invaluable. They really are, because that usually is the first point of entry for a veteran. They may not be comfortable walking in the door of the VA, but they're very comfortable going into a veteran service officer office and doing some paperwork there. So I try and leave them information that they can hand off to veterans when they meet them for the first time.
Well, I think they were getting ready at the state level to cut the funding back on the county veteran service officers. Luckily, you know, there was such an outcry over that one that that Brown backed off on
right.
that, and the money, at least I think the money was put back in. However, they're still talking about maybe part of it was pulled. Operation Welcome Home.
Yes.
Do you interact with that too?
Yeah, we have been working with them. We hold collaborative meetings, and any agency that has veterans, we try and get together once in a while to share information so that we know what agency they're providing, or if we need to recommend a resource to a veteran, we know who to call. Because that's kind of half the battle as well, is knowing who to call for what. I'm a clinical psychologist in the Returning Veterans Program. Someone may have a concern that deals with business. I need to be able to give them that resource, that phone number at the VA. So I think a lot of it is in our community knowing what's available.
I think you're absolutely right. Hey, let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to say that I've been going to the VA clinic down here now probably for about nine years, and I found them to be very, very nice and very cooperative. And I see people in there, though, that their attitudes are so bad that I don't think that anybody can please them. But mostly that all the services I received down there have been really great and top-notch, and they've done a lot for me.
Well, thanks, Jim. I think that's nice of you to call in and say. And I think you're right. A lot of it is attitude. Here's what happened to the first time I was there, though, to tell you the truth. When I walked in, and the very first time, I had an admin person, you know, take down. They take down information. They take down, they do your blood pressure net. And I mentioned something about the veterans, amount of veterans, and she looked at me and she said, well, you know, they've got so much time on their hands that they can come down here and just kind of do anything they want. I mean, it wasn't nice. And I looked at her and I thought, well, that's kind of a tough attitude. Are you a veteran? No. And when I mentioned it, I tell you what, I mentioned this to somebody there, and I never saw her again. So I don't know if she was just a volunteer or whatever she was doing, but I never saw her again there. And I thought, oh, I mean, I doubt if she was fired. I think maybe they just put her someplace else on another shift or away from people. But I agree with you there's some people down there that your attitudes are, that makes a big difference. And then there's other days everybody may not be feeling well that day.
Well,
right. And then the other thing is too, the only thing I can see that they might improve on is that a lot of the people misunderstood what the person told them because they're hard of hearing, and they need to be a little more to help people that are hard of hearing understand what they're being told. And that's the only thing that I see, because I see confusion in some of those people when they're told something, and they should maybe take a little more time to explain to them and talk a little louder too so they can hear them. And that's about the only thing I see. A lot of people are mad because they didn't understand what they were told. And some people need to have somebody there with them, a caretaker with them, to understand what they're being told, because what they tell them that goes out the door, they forget what they're told.
You know, that's a good idea, because, you're right. I've been around enough, and as I'm sure you have, Jim, is that my hearing's going downhill.
Yeah.
And when the people are behind the glass there, it's already tough enough to hear them. And then even if they're trying, raise their voices a little bit, you're right, people can't hear. And I'm just wondering how you could fix that. That's a good thing, though, Dr. Tate.
Yeah, well, for my struggle as a mental health provider is confidentiality. So if I'm yelling someone's private information, I always wonder who's listening. This is someone's private information. I don't want to yell too loud, especially in the lobby, and there are quite a few people out there.
Well, that's true, but there should be a way, if nothing else, maybe a little screen there or something that you can hand them, they can put on so they can listen if they can't hear.
Most of the people out there don't care what the other person being told anyway, so I don't think. And then they're sympathetic to them when they are told something, so I don't think somebody's going to be
taking
the information and run off and telling somebody about something.
And here's a comment from the chat room too, is that they've got, if you're hard of hearing, you have to let the people know, so maybe they could get up and walk around and talk to you. That may not be that wouldn't be impossible either. That's a good point though, Jim. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and there's one other thing too, that some of the people down there could that do work there that are controversial to the people, inform them that they're lucky to have a job now.
Well, yeah, that's true. They don't like working there.
That's a good point.
You better believe it.
Okay, Jim, thanks a whole lot.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
So that's a good point. A lot of your VA patients are elderly. They're getting up there, and that can be a problem. If they don't hear. And I tell you what, let me just give an example of my father. He wore a hearing aid, but if he couldn't hear, the only thing that would do is get him irritated. And you could see him leaning in. But he can say, look, I don't hear. I can't hear what you're saying. And it's kind of like, then there's a sense of exasperation from the other side. And that's a big point. There should be a way that, especially that, if are they getting everything we're telling them?
Right. If you do tell someone at reception, they will get up and walk around the desk and speak to you. And they're allowed to do that. So I think that's, one of the
They just have to let them know that, hey, I can't hear you, kind of thing.
I don't understand what you're saying, and I can't hear you.
Well, I have that look on my face most of the time, so people understand. I just go. I get that, I turn my head sideways like the dog. That dog in that commercial, the head goes sideways. Yeah.
You look like Nipper.
Yeah. Okay, you work, we've got just a couple minutes to the... A minute and a half to the break. So you interlink with the... agencies, with the Welcome Home operation, Operation Welcome Home. And when we come back and off the break, I want to talk about... specific programs that you offer down there that perhaps are new, because I know you're always expanding some things out, and what we can do as a community to help get our veterans into that.
Well, what we are doing right now is we're actually having, this is a great time for me to be here, is because we're doing a kickoff event next Tuesday from 9 to 11. My program is doing a monthly event where we have presentations from veteran service officers, homeless for VA. So that's something that anyone can come to, family, friends, or veterans, come down to the VA on the third Tuesday from 9 to 11.
Okay, well, when we come back, I want to talk some more about that. And you've always got a place here to talk about this before each month, so we can get that word out to people. The other thing, too, about that is... any other things that you have coming up that we can talk about, during that week or that month to help bring in people? We want to talk about that when we get back. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Botland is on an assignment. It's 8:34 in the morning on March the 8th. It's going to be kind of a rainy day today. It's 48 degrees right now. It's going to be raining later on. Is that right, Bad Bob?
That is my understanding. Let me grab... You kind of caught me by surprise there, Carl.
That's
right now,
to do.
48 degrees in downtown, and rain off and on this afternoon, then mostly sunny for your Wednesday. However, rain likely again on Thursday. Weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
It's a great place to go to, just 9 miles north of Shingletown. Not Shingletown, north of Palo Cedro. On your way up there, it's a nice drive. The food is heading towards Shingletown. The food is just absolutely exquisite, and the service is so good. They're going to have Rick Hill out there Friday. He's going to be playing his guitar, and he always does a great job out there. So why don't you join us? We're going to be out there. I like to hear Rick play and go out there and have dinner and preamble around the grounds, because they are beautiful. So our guest today is Dr. Leah Tate from the Veterans Administration here, or the VA Clinic. And her job is the outreach. Her job is to go out and find the people that need to come to the VA, or that have
that have the they rate coming to the VA for their service, that they have they deserve what the Veterans Administration provides, but a lot of them don't come. And so tell us your nowadays is what are you finding when you're going out there?
Well, this generation is a little hard to track down. They're very mobile. And so what we're learning is that the address that they're putting on when they go into the military may not necessarily be where they return. And so someone who, you know, may have left Colorado is coming back with a buddy to California. And we don't want people to slip through the cracks. And
well, how about using things like Facebook and Twitter? Things like that. That I mean, the young people use some way of doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, we've used VA has just started using Facebook and Twitter a few months ago, but not as a search engine for young veterans. That's interesting. We do have monthly events to bring in family and friends, which is very important because family and friends are parents are receiving their veterans home. And maybe they notice some problems. And so sometimes we get calls from the family and friends with concerns, and that may be a first line for us.
Okay. What are, because you are a psychologist, and you're around it all the time, and post-traumatic stress seems to be the one that you see in the papers a lot.
Absolutely.
Almost all, everywhere you see post-traumatic stress. And I have some strong feelings about this, by the way.
Okay.
About post-traumatic stress and how it shouldn't just, and just, okay, editorial. I don't think it should be used as a banner to splash this on our veterans. You know, post-traumatic stress. Because from what I understand of post-traumatic stress, it can affect anybody. That post-traumatic stress is just that. It's something that happens after you've had a traumatic incident.
Right. You witness a traumatic incident or involved in a traumatic incident. So it can be anything, and combat situation, absolutely, but it can be anything from abuse as a child, rape, a car accident. So it can affect anyone. It's not limited to veterans.
Yeah, right. And this is something that, you know, that a lot of people, you know, we run into things where veterans are thinking that, you know, that this post-traumatic stress disorder, name, this thing that's been hung around my neck, even if I'm not suffering from it. But I'm a veteran coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. I must have it. And that seems to be an educational problem we need also to work on in the community. However, there are people out there with post-traumatic stress. Do you feel comfortable in talking about some of the symptoms if the family is, you know, their loved one has come back and it's been a few months and they're starting to notice a few things?
Right, and I should also mention that PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is not the only thing that people have when they're coming home. So you can have depression, and we're actually seeing a lot of more relational issues with family members, meaning you're coming back home, you may be unemployed, you may be having discord with your spouse. You may have financial problems. So there are a lot of different things, but you're right, PTSD is the one thing we see in the newspapers quite often.
But just because when you come back, if you have depression or fights with your spouse, doesn't mean you have post-traumatic stress. It just means is that, hey, I've been gone for 8 months or 9 months or
right.
a year, I'm having these problems.
Right, I'm having adjustment problems to getting back into kind of the grind of life here with the family. Which is very different than your combat situation.
But it's still something the VA helps with, this counseling. They have family counseling, too, I understand.
Yes, we have mental health providers here who do general mental health issues. We have addiction services. We have smoking cessation programs. We have medication assessments. We have access to the Chico Vet Center. That does family counseling. We actually have a therapist coming up from the Chico Vet Center to Reading Clinic once a week who's able to do family and couples work. So we really are trying to cater to the community as far as offering the services we think that would be beneficial.
Yeah, and I think that's important because as the family goes, the veteran can go too. I've heard stories about young veterans that are, you know, they've come in, they've seen the medical side of it, but they don't want to come back because they're afraid of being labeled as, you know, something wrong with them if they are having some, some concerns in coming back into the into society, kind of transitioning back into society. Do you hear of that very often?
I do. You know, because many times primary care physicians will want to transfer someone to the mental health or refer someone to mental health, and they may not show for that appointment. In my experience, when I'm working with patients and they don't show, I give them a call. You've missed your appointment. Is there anything I can do? You know, I try and reach out and make it as accessible as possible. And I'm sorry because you asked me a specific question and I didn't answer it. You asked about symptoms that family or...
That's because I went around in a circle here.
Family or friends may see. But if someone returns home and they're withdrawn, they're depressed mood, we see a lot of increase in drug and alcohol use when people return. Just a lot of fighting, a lot of discord, panic attacks, anxieties, things like that. All of those things would be a reason to call someone at the VA, call someone like me, and say, I'm noticing this about the veteran who just returned home.
Okay, now, before we go leave here you know, today, we want to get about phone numbers and all that and
Absolutely.
Ways of getting a hold of you. Okay, we've got to take a break now. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Dr. Leah Tate from the Veterans Administration Clinic right here in Reading. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Join us in the chat room at KCNR 1460. It's 8:45 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. You know, my favorite place to get my hair trimmed. It's not a stylist. You're not going to get gelled. You're not going to get windblown. You're not going to have your nails done. Hey, it's a barber shop. DC Tim and the Man in Black cut hair. If you're a veteran, you get a discount. What's better than that? And when you walk in, you know, not to offend everybody, I can say it because Linda's not here. Oprah will never be on the TV. Okay? Not Oprah. Not Dr. Phil. Man's last stronghold.
It saved me a ton on magazine subscriptions, guns and ammo, car and driver.
National Geographic, it's got it all there. I mean, what else do you need? You know, if it's a manly thing to do. Okay, that's Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Hey, our guest today is Dr. Leah Tate. We're talking about manly things here from talking about the VA and, you know, and our warriors. You know, something I read just today was that women soldiers are suffering, are starting to suffer a very sharp increase in divorces when they're coming back. You know, like, I know it's always been a problem for males in the service because it's been mainly the men, but now you're starting to see women.
Exactly what you said. I think it's always been a problem. I think we're starting to focus on more of the women veterans now, and divorce is right up there along with the men.
What are some of the women's programs, and how do they differ than say men's programs at the clinic?
Well, I would say differ. You know, they're going to have the same mental health appointments or primary care appointments. We do have women's health appointments for women's issues primarily. You know, sometimes depending on the issues, I've had patients that need to come to a woman for either. Sexual assault that happened in the military, they're just not comfortable talking to a male therapist. So we need to have that available in all of our VA clinics.
Is that a huge problem? Do you see this? I mean, I know it's kind of a small microcosm, but is sexual assault a big problem in the military?
I've seen it occur with men and women, and so I've had patients of both sexes come in for that.
Would you say, I mean, is there a number that is, like, any one is, of course, too many.
Yeah, I was going to say, any.
What you're seeing here, was it a surprise? I mean, as compared to, say, the civilian population, which is the only thing you can really compare it with.
Yeah, that's the only thing I have to compare it to. I would probably say I have seen less patients come in compared to a civilian population. And I think that's because it's the military culture, that if you do come in, you're a snitch maybe or a complainer, and I think it's very difficult for women to come forward. I've only had a handful of women and a smaller handful of men, which is more difficult for them
absolutely.
To come forward. So
I've been in 30 years in the Marine Corps. I think we had in my units, I think we only had maybe one or two cases of that, and I can just say from our units we were ruthless about it, you know, about, you know, making sure that never happened again and that person was never going to have that opportunity again. But, it, you know, I understand it's on the rise when you have this many, and you have as many women as you have serving in the armed forces in areas where, you know, when sometimes things break down. So I just, you know, I hate to see it, though. It's just like anything else we have in our military. You don't want anything to be happening to our warriors.
Yeah,
out there.
It's definitely inappropriate anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
And then you add a combat situation to that, and the stress level just goes, it skyrockets.
Okay. We talked about, somebody had a question, and this isn't fair to you, of course. I talked about the dental care. Are they going to be expanding dental care? Have you heard anything about that?
Oh,
I know that's not
I've
a fair question.
Not my area, but I've heard things. I know that our dental clinic is very busy, and I think they're trying to cut down on wait times for dental care for the veterans.
I think if you're 100% disabled, you can get dental care there, and it may be other than as a on you know as you know if there's a space available type thing.
Yeah,
so
and I think that you're correct with that.
I'm not. Yeah, but I'm
Don't
not positive
me.
On that. Okay, here we're going to take another break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Dr. Leah Tate. When we come back, I'm going to ask her one question about her auxiliary time away from work with the, on the Charter City Commission.
No, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, you know. Linda's on assignment today, 8:52 on March the 8th. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellites.
Pause for effect, sir.
I was looking to make sure Bob turned around. Doug Tooley, and he's on, you know, 244-1988. He puts in Dish Satellite. You're hearing a lot of these things about people, about, you know, oh, call this 800 number. Don't call an 800 number. Call the local number. Call Doug Tooley. And he's going to put in Dish Satellite. He guarantees his work. He's a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, falling out of perfectly good airplanes. Maybe we should have him come over and see you, Dr. Tate. You know, and but he's a local guy, and he's been at it since 1985. You know, we trust Doug.
Brendan and I did the show down there on Saturday, and the new showroom is just fantastic. They've really done a lot with the place, and you really get a good idea of what's available to bring that home theater experience right into your living room. So they're good folks, and they're local.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to switch gears here completely. This is one of the things that when you sign up for stuff and come on the show, but we talked about it. You are also, Dr. Tate, you head up the Charter City Committee.
I am the chairman.
You are the chairman.
I was elected to the position of chairman.
I chose not to run, but I was still elected. Was that you yeah. left the room and you came back and you found out that you were the chairman?
Well, you know, so for people that don't know what this is the City Charter Exploratory Committee, and each council member appointed two people to the committee. So it's a group of 10, and we've met a few times. We have a meeting coming up this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock for anyone who's interested.
Now, all these meetings, are they in the open?
Absolutely.
They're okay.
Yes, public
Great.
Can attend. And we actually invite public comment. I mean, that's the reason we're there, is to hear from the community about their opinions, about if they are for the charter, not for the charter. And we have on our agenda, we have the topics we'll be discussing. So it's posted at the Reading City website. We actually have a website dedicated to our...
And it'll be this Thursday?
This Thursday, 6 p.m., and the 10 of us as a committee hear from the public, and we're happy to do so.
What are the topics this time?
We're going to be, last time we heard about elections, we decided as a committee to hear about election issues again, this time and taxation issues. So we...
What a Charter City can do in this. And, you know, this is really interesting. As we talked about on the break, I'm not sold one way or the other on Charter Cities. Well, I get pushed a lot of different ways. Oh, no, this is great. Oh, no, it's bad. I really think this is important what y'all are doing to be able to bring it out. And I also believe my friends out there, my 300 and the 3,000 others, that, you know, that you all bring a piece to this, is that you need to go to the you need to go to these meetings. And where's it going to be at?
City Council Chambers. And we start promptly at 6, and we go until we hear from all the public comments. And
Now, you have experts there, too, briefing, or how do you do that? Okay, we're going to talk about elections this time. Who does the briefings on this?
Well, we, as a committee, we can do presentations, and we have had presentations done. And, I mean, right now we're focused on hearing from the public, and the committee works very well together, and I think everyone's pretty focused on coming to a decision that's best for Reading. So I'm very happy to be on the committee. So.
Well, what about the and on this with the charter committee, and you have an open meetings and all this. How long are y'all going to be in session?
Well, the city council asked us to come up with recommendations in 4 months. So we started approximately mid-February. So we're probably looking at a June time frame. However, that wasn't set in stone. So I'm assuming that if it goes a month over, or we won't be in trouble.
Yeah, what are they going to do, fire you?
Yeah. So, yes, yeah, so we're all volunteering our time.
Yeah, cut your pay. Yeah.
Right. So, but we are trying to adhere to that. So we work very hard in between the meetings to get things ironed out, our agenda set, and hear from the public. So we do have websites set up, an email where the public can send us information.
And do you have that? Let me throw
it's
that
it's
one
the
right
City
on.
Of Reading website.
That's okay. But people, I urge people to be down there Thursday, because we've had other people that showed up for that, and we're really into this charter city. I don't think that battle lines should be drawn, but I think people need to be as informed as they can. Now, it'll be a written report that comes out from the committee.
Yes, they're asking for a report of recommendations, and we'll do that as a committee and submit it to the city council, and they can do with whatever they would like.
Yeah, they don't have to accept it. They can take some of them and not others.
Absolutely.
Well, that can be a little frustrating, though. I mean, I know they met that one time on the REU to make all these changes in REU, and they met for 6 months, and they came back, and I think the city council said, okay, we'll do three of these, and then the economy slowed down, and they did away with those. So I think they kept a couple of them, but it's a lot of work, and I think it's great that you volunteered to do this.
Well, thank you. It's quite the honor.
Well, I mean, it's everybody's got a busy schedule. I know how busy you are at the VA, and that's your primary focus. But doing something for the community like this is just, it's really, really great.
Yeah,
and I applaud you and every other person on that committee. And I just hope is that we go in there, that we come out of there with as unbiased a look as possible, which I know usually I would do that, so that the city council can actually look at it and that they open their eyes, whatever it is. And take a look at it before we move forward with this thing,
or
don't move forward with
it. And I think the committee is focused on doing that, coming up with an unbiased report.
That's great. Okay. All right. Now, how do people get a hold of you down at the VA?
Well, great. Let me give you a phone number. My number is 530-363-2630. Please call me. This is for family members, for friends of veterans. I'm focused on the returning veterans, but if there is someone from a different era who has a question or a concern, please give me a call. I'll try and help you out.
Okay, one more time, the phone number?
530-363-2630.
Okay, thank you so much for being here, Dr. Tate. We really appreciate it. You 300, now you can start your day after this. We've got you started. Dad Bob, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
And Linda will be here tomorrow with me. I need her, as you all can tell at this point in the show. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.